You are listening to That You May Grow, a podcast brought to you by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. I am one of your hosts, as well as one of the ministers here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. My name is Preston McElyea, and with me, as always, here in the studio as we're recording, is my fellow co-host and fellow minister and my good friend, Brother Jared Hammond.
Good to be here with you again, Preston. Always enjoy the opportunity. And we have a special guest with us this morning, You may not be listening in the morning, but whatever time it is that you're listening.
Well, to give you background, right before we started this, I initially said good morning and then stopped it and deleted it because I said we may not be listening in the morning.
You see, you got the morning thing started, so now it's just there.
You know, I'll take the fault on it. We're rusty here. It's been a little bit since we've sat here behind the mic, but we'll get into it.
But back to our special guest that we have with us today on our podcast, Aaron Anderson, the director at the Home of Recovery and Restoration, a good brother, good friend, and we're so thankful to have you here with us for this podcast.
Well, good evening.
There you go.
And
we'll
I'm happy to be here with you, my brothers. It's always such a pleasure to be here and to speak of things of godliness and speak on the home and what a good work it is. So I thank you for having me here.
Well, we are grateful that you are here. And even if it is, you know, in the afternoon, now we've covered all the bases.
That's right. All in case you're listening.
You did say good morning or good morning earlier. I said morning. It's actually 1:17 here while we're recording. So you said evening. We have the afternoon now. Me and Preston were just completely off.
So yeah. We're good. But no matter the time of day that you're listening, just go ahead and slip on a pair of 10.5 or 11. Size 11 shoes, because that's what Aaron wears.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've been doing as we've gone through this season and talking to some different individuals about different aspects of life and work and ministry, we want to make sure that we walk a mile in their shoes. So, Aaron, that's why I asked you what size shoe you wear.
I was wondering. I was hoping you were going to buy me a new pair of shoes, but that's all right.
And if you are interested in providing Aaron a new pair of shoes, you can find him at the Home of Recovery and Restoration.
That's right. We're at located in Winnsboro. The Home of Recovery and Restoration is a Christian men's rehab. We help men through all different types of addictions, you know, alcohol and drug and just – we help them to establish a new life in Christ, and as you all know, many people that come as new Christians, they need help, and they need help in growth so that we may glorify God with our lives, and that's what we try to do, is provide a safe environment for men to grow, to learn a new way, to put the old man to death, and to learn a new way of living that will ultimately glorify God. And we're hoping to have a generational effect that will come to fruit 100 years from now if the Lord doesn't come back. That these men, through their learning how to serve the Lord and to stay sober and to change their lives, and we're so thankful for the Mount Vernon Church of Christ that they use these men. We worship here mainly. And that they use these men in worship once they've become Christians, when they're baptized into Christ. And they use them here to work the table and scripture reading. And it's amazing to watch these men grow. And the encouragement that we get from watching them grow. And then a lot of the times their families start coming to church. And it's just amazing to watch that maybe the work that we're doing, that maybe you could help us in at Home of Recovery, that we could see that this will have generational effects, that these men, that maybe their great-great-grandchildren will also be in the body of Christ. And so we're just thankful for everyone that supports this work, that makes this work possible, because we cannot do it without the support of good brethren. And so I'm very thankful to be here and to be able to talk about that.
You know, one of the things, when you hear about these recovery homes and things of that nature, it's one thing when you hear about it, but when you get to see and experience the change that takes place within these men firsthand, you know, we're blessed here at the Mount Vernon congregation to have you all worshiping with us. And, you know, we're all here as brethren. We get to worship God together, but we actually get to see some of that transformation that takes place firsthand. And, you know, like you stated, these guys are now serving on the table. These guys are leading prayers, some of them doing, you know, devotional things of that nature. And, man, just to be able to see firsthand, you know, where they were beforehand and how great their struggles were when they first got there, and for us to be able to see that change, I'll tell you what, it's incredibly encouraging for each and every one of us here, you know, at the congregation. It's such a blessing to have those guys with us. And, you know, you, more than anybody, get to see the full change in the process that takes place with these guys.
Yes, sir. It's some days a struggle, but other days it's such a blessing to watch these guys grow because they're putting the things of old behind them. And, you know, just as Jesus says, if you empty that house and you don't fill it with something new, them demons are going to come back seven times worse. And it's the same with these men, is that they realize that when they come to us, they've realized that the old way is not working anymore, and they're done with that. But then what do they do now? Most of these men have been in drugs or alcohol, in and out of prison, and have just had a hard life. And they've used the drugs and alcohol as a solution to a lot of their problems. Well, when you take away that solution, you have to fill it with a new solution. And that's one of the things I love about Paul's writings, like, you know, in Colossians and different places where he gives you the problem, but then he gives you what you change and how you fill it with something new, you know, what the new man does now.
Colossians 3.
And I love that because, you know, that's preparing us for life. It's one of those things. Yeah, we all fall away. We all have sin. We all have problems that we face and suffer. And it just so happens these men have chosen drugs and alcohol as a solution. Well, you take away that solution and you still have the problems. You still have sin. You still have things in your life that you have to solve. But now we fill it with the Word of God. We fill it with what the solution that God gives us for those problems. And it's amazing to just see it when the light kicks on and when they realize, I can do this. I can do this because I have God on my side now. And when you're not at odds with God, life gets a little bit easier. It's one of those things. I was suffering drug and alcohol use for 27 years of my life. And that was my solution. And really what my problem was that I had a God-sized hole in my heart. And I was trying to fill it with drugs and alcohol instead of the Word of God, instead of the blood of Christ. And by doing that, I just made my life more and more miserable. And finally, you get to a point where the misery is just too much to bear. And you decide that you have to try something new. And that's where many people, and it's the only true solution, is to turn to God. And He'll fill that hole. He'll fill that hole with His Word and with a new life and with people that want what's best for you in life. And I love the work at the home. It's challenging work. It's a difficult work. Sometimes not everybody's ready to submit. But when they are ready to submit, with the help of good brethren, we're able to help them grow into the shoes that God has already laid out for them. God's already made them a custom pair of shoes to walk in and to be in through His Word. And it's amazing to watch them put on those shoes and start walking towards Christ, towards godly living. And it's amazing to just see the growth. And, you know, not all people succeed at the home. But those that do, it's just amazing to watch them, and I look forward to seeing more succeed.
Now, you mentioned in there about how when you start doing what God would have you to do and you start walking in those shoes, if you will, the different blessings that can come from that. And one of those specifically you mentioned deals with the people that He'll place within your life. And, of course, you think about the church and being the family of God. It seems like, at least from, you know, some of my estimation, some of the conversations I've had with different guys along the way, that support system within the church makes a huge difference. Is there anything, you know, I guess from your perspective on your side of it, working with these guys, that you can kind of add to that, the importance of having that right community behind you?
Well, as the body of Christ, we're all to lift each other up. We're all to be there for each other and to understand and bear one another's struggles. With my own experience, I would have never been able to come out of the active addiction without members of the church being there for me. An elder and his wife at Southwest, Brett Gerhardt and Gretchen Gerhardt, when I was released from prison, I had nowhere to go. And my family was a mess. I had nowhere to go to get out of the halfway house even, much less to start a new life. And it was Brett and Gretchen that took me into their home. And I'm not saying to do this with everyone, but it worked out well. They took me into their home and provided me a good, safe Christian environment to grow and to learn and to stay sober. And then from that environment, I was accepted at the Southwest School of Bible Studies and continued to live with them the whole time I went to school. And without that Christian brethren lifting me up, without that, I don't know that I would have been able to succeed in the way that I succeeded with God's help. I give all the credit and glory to God, because it was through His people, it's through His teachings and loving and kindness, and it was because of God's teachings that Brett and Gretchen took me in. It was because of their love for God that they showed me love. You know, they showed me the love that I needed till I could love myself in a proper and a godly way. And so it means so much that when the brethren, we have new brothers and sisters in Christ, that we constantly support them and be around them and make sure that their needs are met and that their spiritual growth is met and that their physical needs are met. We see Jesus so many times when he would meet the physical needs, but he would meet the spiritual needs beforehand. He would give the teaching and then he would feed the people. We need to make sure that any new brother and sister in Christ, if they suffer from alcohol and drug problems or not, they're suffering from sin problems, mm-hmm. and no matter what it may be. And it's up to us to make sure that we, you know, otherwise we're just getting people wet. We don't want to do that. We want to include them in the body of Christ, and we do that by showing love and showing that their immediate needs are our cares as well. And that whatever it is that they're struggling, that we help them through that. We make their struggles our struggles. Now, I'm not saying to go get into trouble with somebody or something. But if you see them struggling, you inquire about it. You don't just let them go by the wayside.
It's the difference in holding somebody at arm's length compared to welcoming them in as one of your own.
That's right. I mean, we're all brothers and sisters and children of God, and we need to treat each other such. And I would say that's one of the great attributes of the Mount Vernon congregation is that they make these guys feel at home and is part of the family and loved. But I would say to anybody in any congregation, we need to be doing that with people, because we don't know what their struggles are. We don't know till we inquire, until we make them a part of our family, till you hold them in close. And, you know, I love it. Jesus' teaching, he went to the downtrodden. So many of us look at people because of what they're wearing or, you know, and I'm guilty of it, you know, of looking at people that need the help the most and thinking, oh, no, they don't fit into my little box. But we got to remember that in God's eyes, there is no box. The people that need the help the most are the ones we need to be. Jesus didn't come to save those who were well. He came to save those who were sick. And unfortunately, in our society, those who are sick are they're usually on down at the bottom of the ladder. Mm-hmm. But we have to be there with our hand out on that ladder, ready to accept them and lift them up. And, you know, it's one of the blessings that being in a good congregation, in a strong congregation with loving people, that we're able to. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have heartbreaks. That doesn't mean you're not going to let somebody into your inner circle and then fall away. And it's heartbreaking to help somebody along and see them doing so good and then watch them go right back. But that's just part of it. It's not even a risk that we take, because in all reality, it's God that's doing all this. We got to do our part to make sure that they have every opportunity to grow spiritually and physically. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing our part in God's plan.
There's two things I wanted to say, going back to kind of how you were stating where you were and now where you are now. You know, you see the beauty of God's plan working through your life and this family who takes you in and helps you along. And now you have this opportunity to bring these guys in and help them along. You know, and that's God's plan working through your life, right? And that's a beautiful thing. And I just wonder, you know, with your experience now and the time that you've been there for
3 years.
3 years now, right? So you've been there for a while and you're well established and a lot of good work going on. Is there any, point through these guys, say they run the full program, is that a year now?
9 months.
9 months. Is there any specific point throughout that 9 months that is more challenging typically than other parts?
The most challenging part is the first month or two. Because they get a little taste of sobriety. They're all gung-ho. And they call it the pink cloud. I don't really believe in that. I mean, it is, but I never come off that pink cloud. Even when I was sitting in prison, I was sober. You know, for me, so many people in sobriety, they try to do it without God. We're that's not this program.
Right.
God is foremost the center of this program. You know, AA and NA, those type of programs, those all their steps are biblically based. They come out of the Bible. You can find every one of those steps in Bible teaching. It's just those programs try to remove so that they can be all-inclusive to everybody, so everybody gets the help. Well, we're not going to call anything a higher power. We're going to call it God. We're going to call it Jesus Christ. We're going to call it as it is. The most challenging part is those first few months, getting them to settle in and to realize the humility that it takes to succeed and to realize that it's all about God, because for so long in their lives, it's been all about mm-hmm. them.
Right.
And drug addiction and alcoholism is a selfish disease. Mm-hmm. It's super selfish.
It's all about fulfilling self-lust and desires.
You know, exactly. And a lot of the time, you can come up, any old excuse will do when you're looking for an excuse to use or drink. And so they blame it on this or blame it on that. But really, nobody's making you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just as God isn't going to make you follow him. He chooses those who choose him. We can see that throughout Ephesians. I love the fact that these guys, we've had them come through the program that never obeyed the gospel, but they come to church and
seeds are still planted there.
The seed is planted. Yeah. The hardest part is those first few months and the last few months, because then the rubber's about to meet the road and they get worried and they get stressed out, because here it is. They've been in the nurturing care of people that love them and the church, and here they are about to have to go on their own again. And they're worried that they're going to fail. But, you know, the best thing that I can help them with is to introduce them to good brothers and sisters in Christ, to wherever they're going, so they can stay in the middle of the herd.
And just going off track record of, you know, I'm sure what you've seen more than we have, but from what we have seen, I guess we've been back here for a year now, the guys that remain with the fold, the ones that continue to, once they've gotten out of the home, they continue to come to services and they stay in touch with the brethren. Those are the ones that, you know, seem to have the greatest success. It seems if they pull themselves away from that, it's like it immediately goes downhill.
And it does, because they're pulling themselves away from it for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's usually so that they can go back, because it's really hard to come and sit in church with your brethren that love you and care about you when you're high or drunk. Mm-hmm. And so we've had great success. I mean, I've had great success in sobriety after the program for guys. We've had some guys, but it's on the individual. We can only set the road, set the path, open them, their minds to a new way. But it's on them once they leave to continue down that path. We've had great success with people staying sober. We've had great success with men remaining faithful Christians. Mm-hmm. We've even had Jerry Hill. He's at the home this morning, where he came through the program and is now a first-year student at Southwest School of Bible Studies and doing great.
You should have brought Jerry with you.
I should have. I didn't even think about it. I should have brought Jerry with me.
We'd love to have him. Yeah.
Yeah, he would freak out and clam up in here. He'd be like, but no, he's doing great. Yeah. And he even went to school just wanting to learn more about the Bible, and now he is a bona fide preacher.
He is
out there preaching and teaching the Word and getting comfortable with it and doing really well.
But even before he went to school, and Jerry's not the only one, that there have been guys who, as they're going through the program, reach a point that they recognize, hey, I need to challenge myself. I need to step out. I need to do this devotional, this lesson, whatever it might be. And it goes back kind of what you were saying earlier as far as recognizing the solution, finding the purpose, that it's not about myself, but it's all about God. What can I do for Him?
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things when these guys, they come to the realization that it isn't about them, that it's about being pleasing to God. And we know that God, when you are being pleasing to Him and doing His work well, He's going to bless you spiritually and physically. May not be the big house on the lake that you want, this or that, but your needs are going to be provided for. And a lot of these guys, that's been a struggle for them in life. And they realize, wow, if I just stay the path and stay sober and keep God first and put my sobriety right, you know, you got to put God first and then your sobriety right after God, and then everything else follows after that. Because you put anything in front of those two things, you're going to lose it all. And so when they realize that, and they realize that they can be of service to God, it's a life changer for them. Because now, you know, unfortunately, but most of, and I'm not even going to call it, because we know there's only one true church and there's only one body of Christ. But in the religious world, a lot of people fill their head with all this mumbo jumbo, all this stuff that they think helps them, but it really doesn't. It creates them to be even lost, even in sobriety to be lost. And it's really sad. Because most places, the Christian-based places, will teach them that the Holy Spirit removed all this, or teach them all this stuff that isn't true. It's not the truth. It's not found in the truth of God's Word. And so they get sober and they buy into these lies, these false doctrines. And then from there on out, they promote these false doctrines but I find that inevitably, before long, those false doctrines fail. And the truth is not in them. And the people go back to drugs and alcohol, and then they blame the church. They blame God. They blame the religious people because they weren't there to help them. And so we find it all the time that you can take the drugs and alcohol out of people, but if you don't fill them with the truth is found only in God's Word, then we just pushed it down the road.
Well, it seems like at times the way that like you mentioned, those in the religious world try to present it, it seems like they try to take, to a certain extent, the responsibility away from the individual.
Yes.
That they... again, the glory all goes to God, but at the same time, there are certain choices you as an individual have to make in order to reach the point of doing what God would have you to do.
Yeah, and you know, even tying back to something that you said earlier, Aaron, as far as even kind of how when you think about Jesus and there were these things that were taking place he was doing for people physically, but it was always pointing to a greater thing, that being healed spiritually. And, you know, you look at what's being done for these guys at Home Recovery. They're coming in. They have an addiction that they're fighting, that they're battling, and, you know, some maybe battling most of their life. And they're getting help with that physical problem. But the greater, the big broad picture, they're getting spiritual help, and they're learning truth. They're learning biblical truth that is all found in Scripture, and they're not being fed any of these other teachings. They're just being fed what is truth concerning the church. And it's, you know, it has a greater impact. It's bound to have a greater impact.
Well, if we could shift gears maybe just a little bit. Aaron, if you were to be talking to someone, maybe somebody is listening to our podcast, whether they're listening this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever time of day, if somebody's listening that
or
may,
at night.
Or even at night, if they're struggling with addiction, whether it's alcohol or drug or just any sort of addiction, what advice would you give to them in encouraging to get the help that they need?
Reach out. Reach out to somebody. There's all different types of resources. You know, reach out to a helpline. There's, you know, another way to reach out. I'm sure y'all's number is connected.
Yeah, we have an email connected with it, and actually we can put some information for the home as well so people can get in touch with you.
Contact me. Contact my assistant director, Jesse Mosier. Basically, you know, don't pick up another drink or drug without reaching out for help. There's all kinds of resources. There's all kinds of help available. You make that choice to do that. Make a choice to do something different. If somebody's struggling, or if you have a family member that's struggling, reach out to us. We can always help by – I can always be a good ear to listen and give me the opportunity to talk you out of continuing to destroy your life and destroy yourself and your family. We can always, you know, there's always a better solution than to keep using. It's difficult. It's one of the hardest things to do is to, especially as men and women, is to reach out and ask for help. But do so. I guarantee you, wherever you may be, there is a local congregation of the Church of Christ. Walk through them doors. Tell them you want help. Now, I'm not saying walk through them doors loaded or high. But even if you did, the body of Christ should be willing, you know, if it's a good congregation, to be willing to help you and talk to you. Don't continue to sin and to just keep digging the hole deeper when there is help. There is help available. Pray. Number one thing, pray to God. Pray to God to open up opportunities for you to get the help that you need. All things should start with prayer. You know, there's that avenue, and then reach out. There's so much help available. Reach out and get the help. You do not have to use one more day. It's a choice you make, and choose the right thing. That's the best advice I can give to anyone. It took what it took to get me sober. Sometimes it takes the worst case scenarios to get people sober, but then sometimes people just had enough, and you reach out for help. And then once you reach out for help, accept the help, because that's really hard to do. It's hard to reach out for help, and then it's hard to accept the help. But accept the help and continue. It's a daily battle. It's a daily struggle. I've been sober for almost 8 years, and I'm not going to say it's not easier to stay sober today, but it's not. The battle isn't over for me. I'm in a fight for my life every single day, and I will be for the rest of my life. So, you know, for somebody that needs help, reach out. Start today, because the sooner you get it started, the sooner it's going to get better. The longer you let it go on, the longer you're just going to be in misery and pain. And it's just facts. And there's only usually a couple options to drug and alcohol abuse. One is death, and the other is incarceration. Those are usually the outcomes of people who drink and drug. So, you know, no matter what the circumstances are, we love you. God loves you and wants you to get the help that you need. So don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow, because we know James 4:14, this life is a vapor, soon to vanish away. We may not have tomorrow. We may not have next week. You always say, I want to get help. My sister wanted to get help. My younger sister, my younger brother wanted to get help. Both of them have passed because they waited too long. They did not get the help they needed when they needed it, and they waited. And they have now left this world. So,
you know, and it begins with a choice. That person has to be willing to make a choice for themselves to say, you know what, I know this is not what's good for me. And, you know, it takes being honest and saying, you know what, okay, I see exactly what this drug does to me. I see what this alcohol has done to me, and a willingness to say, okay, I'm ready to make a change. It has to be about that person wanting that change themselves. You know, statistically, it doesn't seem to go well when it's somebody else trying to push somebody else into recovery. That person has to be ready to make that call to say, you know what, this is wrong. This is not doing my life any good, and they have to be ready to start making that change. You know, it's a decision that falls on them that they have to be ready to make that decision.
Is there any comfort or encouragement you might be able to share as well with those who have family members that are struggling? Because to Jared's point, oftentimes it might be those family members who recognize the problems of addiction in someone else's life before they do themselves. And if they're working to try and help that individual get the help that they need, but maybe that individual doesn't see it yet for themselves, is there any encouragement you might be able to help give to them?
Yes. Number one, do not be the enabler. As long as the alcohol or drug addict has an enabler, a person keeping them from hitting bottom, they're probably not going to change. Number one, and it's not very encouraging. I guess you asked for some encouragement. But the number one tip to the family member, the loved one, the person who wants to help the person who's suffering from drugs and alcohol, is to not be the enabler. Don't enable them.
Sometimes you got to let them hit rock bottom.
You have to let them hit bottom, because until they hit bottom, most people are not going to change. But once they do hit bottom and they're out of resources and they realize that they want to change, then they can change. Everyone can. And one of the questions I ask the guys coming in, I say, who are you doing this for? And if they answer anyone but for themselves, then I tell them they're in the wrong place. Because if you're not doing it for yourself because you're done, then it's not going to work. If you're doing it to get the wife back or the job back or this or that back, well, then you're not doing it for the right reasons, and that's because you want to change. If you're doing it for any other reason than that you've had enough and that you want to change, it's not going to work. You might as well go get some more till you get to the bottom, if you survive long enough. It's just one of those factors. Drugs and alcohol, they kill. You're lucky if you don't kill somebody else in your drugs and alcohol abuse. So my encouragement to the families is that once they get the help, they will get better. And it's just a sad part for the families, because most people on drugs and alcohol, the first people they turn against is their family, because those are the people that love them, and they know that. And it's part of the self-loathing that goes on, that you don't want the people that actually care about you around you. Because then you feel guilty and you don't want to do what you're doing. You want the people that want you to be in waller in the mud with you around you. And so for the families, it's very discouraging and it's very rough. But once they hit bottom, once they have no more resources and they have to accept the fact that they need to change, once they realize that and want that change, it gets better from there. And many times throughout their recovery, they'll come and ask for the forgiveness, and realize what they're missing out on and want to be a part of it again. And so my only encouragement for the families is that it does get better. And my encouragement for the addict and alcoholic is that it'll get better the minute you stop and start pushing for recovery one day at a time. And with all things, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. No matter if you think it's impossible, it is not. I was an addict for 27 years on every drug there was. Been on multiple drugs at the same time and alcohol through it all. If I could recover from that, so can you. But it takes one day at a time, and just sometimes 1 minute at a time is all you got to make it through. So,
you know, a sad reality to a lot of these rehabilitation areas or these locations, there's a lot of guys that are going to fall back. There's a lot of them that, you know, they'll do good for a while and then they'll fall right back into the same hole that they were in, you know, and get absorbed right back into that life of drugs and alcohol. And I think what sets the home recovery apart from so many is its well-grounded foundation in the Word. And you combine, you know, all these guys there for this purpose to better themselves as well as providing the Word of God and teaching sound doctrine to them, it only enhances the possibility that they will remain, you know, clean from that point forward. So it's such a wonderful work. You know, you have Aaron there. He's, as stated, a graduate from Southwest. You also have Jesse Mosier. He was a graduate from Southwest. Y'all actually went to school together.
Yes, sir.
Graduated the same class. So you got two men who have well studied as well as who have taken on a very challenging work. But they have done so because they love the Lord and they love souls. And I tell you, we're thankful, you know, for the time and the effort that you guys put in out there because it makes a world of difference in these men's lives.
Absolutely. I second all of that. And so as we're getting close to wrapping up here, I don't remember if I mentioned this to you before or not.
Throwing a curveball.
So it might be on the spot. It might not be on the spot. I may have mentioned it to you, but you forgot. I don't know. You know, we're going to find out. So at the end of each of these episodes in this particular season, Aaron, we've been asking what's your favorite book of the Bible is, and then who your favorite person in the Bible is with the exception of Jesus.
Because that's the easy answer.
Right. And of course, with the favorite book, we've had a little bit of variety. Sometimes it's just a matter of whatever the specific person has been teaching through or what their last sermon was out of. Mm. Because Jared and I are preachers, and we kind of know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've had any overlap yet either, have we?
Not
that I recall.
Not that I can think of.
Whether that was by book or by name of the Bible, I can't remember. But we were talking about it the other day.
I'm pretty sure we've not had overlap on book.
Maybe
we may have had overlap on name.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So your favorite book of the Bible?
Just because I just got teaching a sermon out of James, I really appreciate the book of James. It was one of the first devotionals that I ever preached was from the book of James on faith without works is dead. So I really appreciate the book of James just because of the instructions given. The instructions, and I love the fact that it tells us that it's our own desires that create the sin in our lives. I really appreciate that fact because so many people want to blame God for this or that, or blame the devil for this or that. But I really appreciate the fact that James brings out it's our own desires that create this sin in our lives. The devil can't make us do nothing. He knows our desires and knows how to tempt us with them. But it's our own desires that cause us to fall out of accordance with God and his teachings. And I really appreciate that because it helps me to realize to keep my members, to keep my thoughts, to keep the things that the world tries to bombard me with in submission, to keep all that away. And so I really appreciate the book of James. And it's my favorite Bible character right now. I'm going to have to
say James.
I'm going to have to say Martha. Martha, you wanna see what a disciple of Christ looks like? Go and study what Martha and them were doing. Look at what Martha and them were doing throughout Jesus' ministry. Providing a place of refuge. Providing a place where Jesus could go and be safe and rest. Providing him with you know, just being hospitable to him. You know, providing him with meals. How many times did they go and sit at Martha's table? You know, she had some things wrong, but, I mean, look at what she was doing right. We all need to be that person for somebody else. We need to be that person where somebody feels safe and providing meals and doing the things that behind-the-scene things that nobody really – you know, it reminds me of, like, the luncheons that we have and stuff. You know, everybody praises the preacher and praises the elders and the deacons, but sometimes we forget some of the hardest workers in the kingdom are those ladies back there.
Working behind the scenes.
Working behind the scenes that take no credit, that want no credit for the things they're doing. But guarantee you, you know, always making sure everything's done and that the things, you know, the things are in order and
making sure that you're comfortable.
Exactly. And so I always find those characters, those unsung heroes in the Bible, I really like because they can teach us how we need to be because they weren't looking for credit, you know. But look, these amazing in a Jewish, mainly Jewish writing that we have the mention of women. Because if you know anything about Jewish writings of the past, they did not care for women about their opinions or to mention them in anything. And to have these ladies mentioned and the service they did for our Lord and Savior is just amazing. And it's a good example to us all to, you know, we don't need credit for the things that we're doing. God sees all. And we should be working behind the scenes to make things happen for the good of all. Not just the good of ourselves or a couple people, but I guarantee you, when my favorite dish is served out there, it's for everybody. It ain't just for me. You know, it's for everybody. And if we look at figures like Martha and Mary and see these figures in the Bible for what they did, and that was to provide comfort in a place of refuge, a refuge to our Lord and Savior, and we need to do the same for those around us.
Well, we have most definitely enjoyed the time, and I hope anybody who listens in who has been able to hear about the home recovery, if you have any kind of questions or concerns, we can add some information there with the podcast as it pertains to the home recovery. Aaron, we're just we're so thankful for you and Jesse for the work you guys are doing out there. And hopefully if someone hears about this through this podcast, they can reach out to you. If they know someone who's struggling or could use that help, that they could make that contact. And ultimately, the greater purpose to get closer to God. So it's truly is a blessing. You know, we get to be here firsthand with you, and we get to interact with these guys. And I tell you what, it's just amazing to see the change that takes place in these guys' lives.
Yeah, absolutely. That they're all working to be a better version of themselves and to be the best they can be. Again, like Aaron, you brought out multiple times, to be who they can be for God. And that's where the true success is going to be found. And even you talk about Martha there and thinking about the service that she did. She did it for others, but ultimately at the same time doing it for her Lord. And I can't help but think about the book of Ephesians. You've mentioned it multiple times. Thinking about all of the plan that God has for each of us. He's got a plan for all of us to be saved, and that's through the gospel. That's through means of the church and all of that working. You look at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, it's through that we work to his glory. And that's what we should all be working toward. That's what we should be growing toward, that all that we do is to the glory of God.
And that's so right.
That's
I guess one other thing we could mention, you know, while we're, you know, doing the podcast, if anyone listening would like to support the home in any way, it is a wonderful work to support. I'm sure you could get in contact with Aaron with the information that'll be provided. There's quite a few congregations in the area that support the work, and it's through that support that everything, you know, continues to run. and even prayers for the work there. I'm sure that would be greatly appreciated. Anything that you might, any concern or question that you might have in any facet of the work that goes on out there, we hope that you'll take that time to contact Aaron or Jesse and get in touch with them.
Yes, we have over 24 different congregations that support financially and physically with food banks and different things that they gather for us. So if you individually or your congregation would like to have me or Jesse come and do a presentation of the home, I usually come and do a Bible class presentation about the home and then preach a sermon orientated around the home, we would love to do so. If you know you have any questions, you can look us up at the Home of Recovery and Restoration website. We're located in Winnsboro, Texas. If there's anything we can do for you, please reach out, and we will be more than happy to do so. It is a good work of faithful brethren, and we promise that any money that is sent will be is always used and with God's glory in mind, and that it is a great work. It's really one of the few works in the church designed and orientated around speaking the truth and helping men through drugs and alcohol recovering.
Now, and I don't think we had mentioned it, but it's a program that is not state funded or anything like that. That it is funded by brethren.
We're not going to turn away any money from outside the brotherhood, but generally speaking, all of our money and funds come from with inside the brotherhood, and because everybody knows somebody who's suffering from drugs and alcohol, no matter where you're at. And so this is a good way that if you've had somebody in your family pass and you want to know a way of being able to help future so this doesn't affect other people, this is a good way to help. Or if you have somebody in your family that's suffering from drugs and alcohol and you want them to get the help, reach out to us. Or if you just see that this is a good work, which it is, and we're helping bring souls to Christ. And that's a lot of these rehabs are money structure oriented. They're there to make money. We're not there to make money. We are there to bring souls to Christ. But we do need money to operate this facility. And so anything would help. Anything helps at all. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too large. That or if your congregation is local and you'd like to join in on our food bank, please reach out to us. Anything and everything helps. So I'm so thankful to you, two great brethren, and y'all's work here at Mount Vernon. And we just keep pushing forward one day at a time to God's glory.
Well, we're thankful for you as well as thankful for Jesse and all the good work y'all are doing, and thankful for all of the guys there at the home, those who have gone through the program, and those who are continuing in their sobriety and in their faithfulness. A wonderful thing that is being done. And so that will take care of our show for today. And as we mentioned, we'll have all of the information related to the Home of Recovery. We'll have a website link there and maybe an email for people to be able to reach out, get in touch, get in contact with the home, whether it is that you need some help with addiction yourself. Maybe it's reaching out on behalf of a congregation to try and schedule something to have Aaron or Jesse come and do a presentation, or maybe just some more questions that you might have as far as helping somebody else in your family or a good friend be able to work through some of these challenges. I know Aaron is always ready to help out however he can in that. And so we will go ahead and conclude for today. We're thankful for you being with us, listening to us. Feel free as well to share this podcast with those who you think may be interested. It might just be perhaps that by means of this podcast, somebody may come to know Christ Jesus. Somebody might be struggling with something, even for a show like today. They may be dealing with addiction, and it may just be one of the pieces of advice that was given in today's episode that may point them in the right direction. Maybe it's one who has fallen away from the church. It might help restore them. It might be that it introduces them to the gospel for the very first time. You never know what might happen. But we hope and pray that you would continue to grow.